I'm delighted then to welcome our next guest speaker, a man earning recognition for a genuine commitment to delivering a shared and better future in Northern Ireland, and one who has even taken up an invitation from our Deputy Leader, Naomi Long MP, to participate in some hard hands-on work in our constituency of East Belfast. I think there's a photographic evidence of this work on our conference brochure today, just to prove that he does get his hands dirty as well. Vernon Coker is Labour Member of Parliament for Getting in Nottinghamshire, to which he was elected in 1997. First time a Labour candidate held the constituency, and Vernon has held a number of government offices, including Minister of State for Schools, Minister of State for Policing, and Under Secretary of State at the Home Office. Conference, please join me in welcoming a very good friend and Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Mr. Vernon Coker, MP.
Chris, thank you very much for that, and thank you to all of you for the invitation to be here this afternoon and to join in your conference. Can I just say, Chris, it's really good to see somebody young, and one of the things I looked at around the conference, we talk about doing things for the future. It's good to see actually lots of conferences that I go to now, but represented here in Belfast, here where we have lots of young people. And I think seeing young people infused, involved and wanting to do something, I think offers us all that hope that we would want to see. And Chris, you're a great example of that as well. Can I say I'm trying to do my bit for East, West, North, South. I was in Galway last Saturday, back to London, then to Derry yesterday and in Belfast today, and we'll be back to Birmingham in a couple of hours if I get the plane. So I'm trying to help with that. Can I also just say, Naomi, the photo is great. I can't even get on my own Labour Party conference pamphlet. So I'm going to have a word about how you do it, because maybe I need to get elected Deputy Leader of the Labour Party and I get on the front or something like that. But I'm really grateful. And those of you who haven't seen it, it's on page 3 and it's... Anyway, can I just say seriously for a moment, and just to take up, I know we're running a little bit late, but Naomi Long has been a great friend of mine, and Northern Ireland has had a lot of good representatives and has at the moment a lot of good representatives in Parliament. But Naomi Long, in her, you have someone who works extremely hard, tries to do the right thing, and is actually a genuinely nice person. And in my experience of politics, they don't always all of that go together. And Naomi, it's fantastic to have you in Parliament. You've made a huge impression on there, and you've made a huge impression on all of us as well. And I think it's a great tribute to you that you've done that. And the party here has a fantastic Deputy Leader. Well done. It's great. Can I also just say, David Ford, as your leader, and David, I thought, who gave... A wonderful speech, moving speech, an inspirational speech this morning. He's also been a great friend. He's very good to me because sometimes being English, which I'm sorry about that, but being English, being English, but trying to do the right thing and accepting the responsibility that I have, it is good to know that in David Ford there is somebody who has a real intellect, but is also not averse to just picking the phone up when somebody wants a genuine bit of advice about something. And I think somebody who does that, with all of the responsibilities that he has, and perhaps one of the most, if not the most difficult job in government, the fact he has the time to actually sometimes just have a quick word on the phone, I think is a great tribute to him. And again, I think that in David you have a great leader. Let me just say a couple of things, and just to try and rush through a couple of remarks so that we can perhaps have time for a couple of questions. Let me just say, in reflecting, and I think what was really important about what's been said by Naomi and David and others about today is, in reflecting on the current situation, I think it is really, really important for us to actually, when we say, yes, there's been lots of progress, yes, lots of things are a lot better than they were, of course that's true. That's absolutely the case. Does anybody think that, notwithstanding some of the awful things that still happen, that things will slip back to where they were? I don't think people think that, and I don't think that. But it doesn't mean the job's done. It doesn't mean there's nothing left to do. It doesn't mean there are still huge challenges, as Naomi showed me in East Belfast when we drove down the road into Belfast there. When I look in some of the things when I see in West Belfast, some of the things you see in Derry, some of the things you see around, there are still problems with sectarianism. There are still problems with segregated communities, with division between people. Those things still exist. You know that better than I do. And I think that it is important in saying that not to try and decry the progress, but because people are impatient for even better things for their communities and for their children and for their grandchildren. And it's that impatience, that sense of, can't we speed this up? Can't we inject more urgency into that process of change that I detect when I come and speak to people in Northern Ireland? And I think, as Brian was saying in his remarks, it's not that the British and Irish governments should interfere in the process and the progress being made in Northern Ireland, but it's through some of the things that the British and Irish governments are involved with, as encapsulated by the Good Friday Agreement, that we need to support that process of change in Northern Ireland in a way which is appropriate and supportive to the institutions and the representatives and the people of Northern Ireland. They're referred to as strands 2 and 3, as you know, in the agreement. And it talks, and Brian talked about the strand 2, the north-south arrangements. And just to say, surely, it's not about... there are two jurisdictions, of course. That's accepted. It's established by the agreement. But surely where, as David has demonstrated in policing, that by sharing information, by working together, by actually tackling the common enemy, which is crime, or those who would try to break down with some of the accepted security that we all want. Surely, by working together, that actually is helpful to the people and the communities of Northern Ireland. Surely, with respect to other services, let's be pragmatic about it. If it means that by working together, not to undermine the union or to promote nationalism, but simply by trying to do the right thing for people in communities, that you can actually save money, you can provide better services for people, surely that is one of the ways that we should try to move forward. And I think just here, actually, in this hall, in this hotel here today, you have some of the best examples of people who actually bring about change. And that's the voluntary and community sector outside in the hall. They often work across borders. They often work across communities in a way which sometimes established statutory agencies find it hard to do. And we need to support those and try to do as much as we can with respect to that. And Naomi mentioned this morning, North-South in tackling the decade of commemoration, changing attitudes, all of those things are extremely important. And, of course, across the East-West dimension. And that's why I say the British government has a responsibility to try to work with, not impose, but to work with people. Huge decisions are still taken in London, which make a huge impact on Northern Ireland. Tax and spend set by the Treasury in London. Welfare, as Naomi mentioned this morning. That reform programme set in London. Now, we need to accept in London, and I agree absolutely with the point that's been made, that Northern Ireland shouldn't be treated as a special case, but there are special circumstances which need to be recognised, and we should try and support that process of change which is taking place, as was identified by the Good Friday Agreement. Look, there are quantifiable benefits that come from East-West relations, and you can look at that in terms of trade, in terms of the economy, and you can quantify those. But there's also the unquantifiable links that also help. I've been struck perhaps more than anything, and Brian, I guess you were there, many people in here maybe. The Queen's visit to Ireland just a few months ago was hugely symbolic, and everybody says to me has made a huge difference right across the whole island of Ireland, and indeed has helped change attitudes in Britain as well. And who can forget going to Croke Park? The Queen going there. and then soon afterwards going to Island Bridge and going there as well. These are the sorts of unquantifiable things that make a difference, as well as all of the quantifiable things as well. And we need to recognise that and try to support that. So I think that actually, in saying that we have to meet these challenges, in saying that there's a lot to be done, we don't actually say that undermine the progress that's being made. We don't actually say that huge amount of progress hasn't been made, because it has. But what we do reflect, and I think what the East-West relationship, the North-South relationship, all of those relationships should reflect, it should support the process of change that is going on in Northern Ireland, and if at all possible, try to quicken that up. Because we don't want, and I don't want to be, whoever is in my place in 20 years' time, or 25 years' time, or 30 years' time, to actually be saying to an audience of people at an alliance conference, or indeed anybody else's conference, and say, what we need is to take action now in order to tackle the segregation that still exists in our communities. They deserve better. The young people deserve better. It's up to us to rise to that challenge, to change the perception of Northern Ireland, but also to change some of the realities that there still are. Progress, yes, but we should never be complacent. Let's quicken up the pace of change. Let's move forward at a faster pace to try and bring about that better future that we all want for ourselves, for our communities, for our children, and indeed for Northern Ireland. Thank you very much for this opportunity of being here today.
In the short time that I have had the pleasure of meeting Vernon, it's quickly becoming clear to me that this is a political leader who means what he says and will take action to get the job done. So I'm genuinely excited about the relationships that we are building today, both with you, Vernon, and Minister Hayes, and that we can work together to tackle some of these extremely difficult challenges head on. I realise you're pressed for time, Shadow Secretary of State, so you mentioned accepting responsibility. I'll maybe try and squeeze one or two questions in here while we still have you, and we'll go to the issue of... someone can give me a nod if we literally do need to move you on, okay? Okay. Dealing with the past, you've mentioned accepting responsibility today. We've had cross-party motions at the Assembly. We've had Naomi taking a lead at Westminster, calling on the current Secretary of State to convene cross-party talks. He said there's a lack of consensus, but how can we build that consensus unless we actually get round the table together, as we have done for many other difficult issues in Northern Ireland? So, Shadow Secretary of State, maybe if you could tell us what you think in relation to what we need to do in terms of dealing with the past, and Minister will bring you in on that as well.
Well, thank you very much for that. And can I just say, I mean, look, with respect to what Naomi has done and others have tried to do, I agree absolutely with the motion that was passed by the Assembly and the need for there to be all-party talks about this. I actually think that the Secretary of State will say, I don't want to have all-party talks because we'll have a big media fest at which we'll have satellite trucks parked outside and it may fail. I think this is such an important issue. You cannot have a situation where every single week something comes up in the paper and one atrocity after another is that, and so on, and one family, awful as all of those things are. I think it is difficult. But goodness me, if you'd have said, I guess to many of you in here a few years ago, look where Northern Ireland is now, you would have said, well, it's difficult. That'll be difficult. But look where Northern Ireland has come and what you've achieved. Now, I just think that actually what I thought was interesting about it was it didn't demand a solution, didn't say, you know, you say what we should do. It was facilitate talks. And I think the Secretary of State should have had all-party talks, brought everyone together, and I think it would have been difficult. I'm not sure what the outcome would have been. I'm not sure what the result would have been. But I do know this. In the end, everybody will have to get round the table to agree on a process about how we deal with some of these really significant and difficult issues. And frankly, if we don't, then what will happen is it will be difficult to move forward in the way that I said we should do in terms of that sense of urgency. So I've tried to support that motion. I've said myself that I agree with it, we've made demands on it, and in terms of trying to do something about it, we just have to continue to try to put pressure, frankly, on the Secretary of State, but on the government in Westminster, to actually convene those talks and to actually set up a process which tries to solve one of the real difficulties and challenges that still remain for everyone. In fact, I think the victims and the people of Northern Ireland deserve no less than that.
Thank you for that response, Shadow Secretary of State, and thank you for your presence with us today. I'm being advised that we need to allow you to be excused to leave to meet those east-west, north-south commitments that you have ongoing.
I'm not quite rich enough to buy my own plane. You see.
Conference, if you join me.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. I have a short public announcement as well, folks. We have I always seem to get these. I've had one of these at the Assembly and event before as well. A black Golf LJZ6483 and registration ECZ8356. A Volkswagen Lupo are causing obstruction in the car park. If anybody knows who they are, if they could kindly see to that. Minister, another key issue on the agenda at the moment as well, after you take the opportunity to answer the dealing with the past question, is the EU fiscal treaty. Taoiseach Enda Kenny has, this week in his visit to Belfast, asked the people of Northern Ireland to not be complacent in relation to the possible impact of this on the jurisdiction here. I'd be grateful if you could tell us your thoughts on that particular issue, as well as the important issue of dealing with the past.
Well, on the issue of the fiscal treaty, I mean, we obviously have a referendum. We quite like referendums, as you know. I was on a BBC programme recently, and they said, you seem to have a lot of referendums on the issue of Europe. Yes, we do. Sometimes we have it twice, actually. But but on this question, we will only have one effort at it. And I think it's important that the government decided to have that referendum on the 31st of May. We will have one vote. We will decide, because whether we decide for it or not, it's quite clear that the 16 other Eurozone countries are going to embrace the reforms that are set out in the treaty. The fundamental question is, will it work? Will it bring about stability to the Eurozone? And really, it's too early to tell. It's a bit like the French Revolution. But we do need clear sets of rules within the Eurozone, within Europe, and we need to see those rules fully enforced. The problem with the establishment of the euro was we didn't see those rules enforced, or they certainly weren't enforced to big countries and to big institutions. And I think in terms of our real problem at the moment in getting out of the programme, getting out of the Troika and moving back to the financial markets at the latter end of next year, we have got to, the decision we will take will hopefully be a vote of confidence in our ability to continue to attract inward investment and also to take the next steps forward in terms of confidence. So it's a confidence building measure. But, you know, let's be clear about this. We can never allow a situation again where any state within Europe can have budget deficits of 10, 11 or 12%, or that 25% of its total debt ratio is made up of the banks because of the bailout that had to occur. That can never happen again. So it's in Ireland's interests, it's in Britain's interests, who are not part of the Eurozone, that we bring about real stability. I was part of the last Eurozone meeting, which the Greek deal was done in terms of the second bailout, and I made the point at the time that total focus is on bringing about some stability. Now, who would have thought that EU leaders could have agreed a treaty from effectively November to January that half the countries involved would have it endorsed within 6 months and the other half within another 6 months? So I think finally Europe is getting its act together and responding to this crisis. It's going to be very important. On the question of inquiries, the view of the Irish government is that, you know, we want to facilitate a process that the parties here in Northern Ireland can endorse. And really the task of the Irish government, and indeed the British government, is not to impose some solution on this. It is one of the last remaining areas that has got to be addressed. We all know that. How you deal with it is also an issue. I think, personally, the day of the full-blown public inquiries is over. People haven't the money for it, north or south. And equally, we need to find a way in which people can volunteer and opt into a system. I'm aware that in the past there has been an attempt to at least show the victims of terrorism the files that are there. And for some people, that was a form of closure in terms of at least finding out what officially was held in relation to that particular murder, be it 5 years ago or 30 years ago. But in other cases, that wasn't sufficient. And it's how we get that balance between those two positions that I think both governments would need to look at very, very carefully. It isn't an issue to be rushed, quite frankly, because we don't want to jeopardise the progress that we've made, but we do recognise that it's an issue that has to be addressed ultimately.
Okay. Absolutely agree with that. And in terms of the EU treaty, I should give a word of thanks on behalf of the party to Vice Chairman Councillor Andrew Muir, who represented our similar position from ourselves to the Oireachtas Committee, who's looking into the treaty last week. We've spoken about working across borders and beyond east, west, north, south. Europe is obviously a strong partner for us as well, and we look to develop that going forward further. I think we're close to the close of time here, but Minister, you mentioned in your comments the North-South Ministerial Council. Could I ask if you think what can be done to improve the engagement with the Good Friday Agreement arrangements such as the North-South Ministerial Council, and if you think bodies such as InterTrade Ireland are serving the maximum function that they can be at this time?
Well, the North-South Ministerial Council and the bodies that flow from that are an essential part of the agreement. And, you know, the view of the Irish government is we're ambitious for real practical progress in areas that we need to make practical progress in. That requires engagement. And I want to assure the Alliance Party at its national conference that the Irish government across the departments of state that make up part of the North-South Ministerial Council are fully engaged. And we look for the same engagement in relation to all of the ministers who come to the council meetings. There's a very practical work programme in place. We need to see that programme delivered so that ordinary people can see the benefits that will come from North-South engagement. I also think it's very important, and it's an issue that I suppose many colleagues in Dáil Éireann have spoken about, is the need to make much more progress on the parliamentary tier between the Assembly and between the Oireachtas. For too long, this issue has been in abeyance, quite frankly, and we haven't seen the kind of parliamentary engagement. And it's fine for ministers to be meeting and agreeing things and assuming that those things are being implemented. We also need parliamentary scrutiny on what these ministers are doing, including myself. And you're not going to get that unless we have a strong north-south parliamentary forum which actually takes responsibility at a parliamentary level, north and south, for the work programmes across the sectors. So I think that's very, very important. Over time, can change be occurred? Of course it can. If we find that things are not helping the practical implementation of those decisions. But I think we've got to be much more focused on delivering for communities and delivering for ordinary citizens so that they know that the North-South Ministerial Council is actually delivering in the way that we expect. Otherwise, what's the point? But that requires, you know, two people to tango. It requires both administrations to work at this, and it also requires a bit more supervision at the parliamentary tier. And I know the view of the Alliance Party is to work strongly in terms of that forum. I wish other parties would follow that route, quite frankly.
Okay, conference, we'll bring the panel to a close. I'm sorry we didn't have time for any more questions. We're up against it there in terms of time commitments, but I just want to extend a genuine thanks on behalf of the Alliance Party to you, Minister, for your time with us today. I hope it is a working relationship that we can develop further going forward, and the Alliance Assembly team and the full party are absolutely committed to working with you to across those boundaries to deliver a shared and better Ireland for all. If you'll indulge me for a second on a personal note, this is my second conference as an Alliance MLA, and addressing the conference last year, I gave my commitment to work as part of a great team in East Belfast to secure two Assembly seats in East Belfast, and much was made in the result of Peter Robinson's result. But in delivering our commitment to secure two Alliance MLAs in East Belfast, Judith Cochrane and myself, it was the first time we'd done so since 1982. And fittingly, the two seats that were held in 1982 were Addy Morrow and Oliver Napier. And we've heard many fitting tributes to these great men today. I just want to say to conference that it gives me immense pride to be following in the footsteps of these great men. And I would echo David and Naomi's call to action that we continue to be in the business of breaking glass ceilings to smithereens by standing on the shoulders of these Alliance giants. And I give you the full commitment of the Alliance Assembly team that we will play our part in doing that task. So join me in thanking again, please, the Minister of State, Brian Hayes, for his presence with us today. Thank you.